Good morning, Northwoods Online. My name's Hope. This is Janine.
Hi.
And we are so excited to welcome you here this Baptism Sunday.
Yes, it is so exciting. Today is the day where people are taking their next step in their faith journey. They are publicly declaring their faith in Christ and getting baptized. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be following service.
Yes, yes.
And so you know what? That means that if you've been thinking about it or you get moved this morning, you can still be here and be baptized.
Yep.
Come at the end of the service and step up and get on that stage and we will get you baptized.
Yeah, it might sound weird for us to say that, but it has happened before.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We mean it. Hop in the car and get to one of our campuses if you would like to be baptized this morning. And you know, we also have something exciting coming up next week, something I'm really excited for. We are kicking off a brand new series called Finding Hope for Your Home. And we're gonna talk about things like worry and anger and parenting. We have some guest speakers coming in a few weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun. And this is one of those series that is a really great opportunity for you to invite someone to come and watch with you in your home or bring them along to one of our campuses, because we're just hitting on some of those really big topics that I think are weighing heavy on a lot of people's hearts right now.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really good stuff.
Yeah. So we also have, of course, every week, a lot of ways that we would love for you to get connected. Mm-hmm. So what are some of those?
Yeah. So if this is your first time visiting with us, we want to say welcome. Mm-hmm. We're so glad that you're here. And we want to be able to connect with you.
Yep.
And the easy way to do that is if you will just text the word new to the number right there on your screen, and someone is going to reach out to you this week. We just want to answer any questions you have and maybe help you get connected here at Northwoods.
Absolutely.
Now, for everyone else, we love connecting with you too.
Yeah.
So whether you've been here for a long time or maybe you just joined us last week, go to the Northwoods mobile app and fill out the connection card. While you're there, you can ask questions.
Yep.
There's a couple of easy next steps that you might wanna get more information about, and just let us know how we can even be praying for you.
Yeah, it's a great thing. And if you're competitive like me, last weekend I was sitting in service with my husband next to me, and I usually am behind the scenes doing things, so I don't get to fill out the connection card. And so I whipped it out and filled it out real quick, and he was like, hey, that's my job on the weekend. So you know, if that's the motivation you need to do it, we would love for you to fill out the connection card. And then, as always, we'd love to connect with you right here in the moment, and you can do that by joining us in the chat, saying hi, and letting us know where you're tuning in from. And we always have people who are standing by to pray with you. If there's any need that you have in your life, whether that's something big or small, something that's hard or something that you want to celebrate, we are here to pray with you this morning. And we are also just ready to celebrate baptism. So let's get going. Northwoods Online and Baptism Sunday starts right now.
Let's go on and stand to our feet. God is good. His word says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Today we're going to do just that. So come on. We're going to give thanks to everything that he's done in our lives today. God, we praise you. We lift your name on high, God. Come on, let's sing.
Worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Yeah.
Come on, lift your voice.
Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and bound.
That you're here on this baptism Sunday. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have some fun today. You know, we just want to invite you to take your seat. We're going to introduce a new song to you. But before we get to the song, we actually want to share a video. And it's just a song story of how this song came to be. And so again, we just want to share that with you this morning. So go ahead and check out this piece.
So I remember writing the first, what is now the pre-chorus and the chorus. And the lines say, you promised me you never let go. And then the chorus says, still I will praise you when in the middle of every storm, because you have the last word. And so I remember writing that a long, long time ago. And I feel like the Lord just kind of downloaded those words into my spirit, and I just kind of wrote them out. At that time, I didn't really connect with it. You know, I didn't question it, but I didn't connect with it really, really well, because it just didn't mean that much to me at that time. That was one of the hardest seasons of our lives, I feel like. Much like her, you know, I grew up in Brownsville, Texas, you know, for the last 25, 26 years of my life, just kind of been there, stationed there. And that's all I've ever known. And so obviously moving here, leaving my family behind, my parents, my brother, my sister, my nephews, it was pretty difficult.
The hardest thing for me was leaving that, because I was so comfortable. It's all I ever knew. I had never left. Like, I did college there. I did everything there. My family was there. So, like, leaving all of that was so hard for me, because I knew that we were going to be taken out and be uncomfortable.
And I remember at that time when we started walking into that season, I don't know why, I just started going through my voice memos on my phone, and I found that recording. And the title was Still I Will Praise You. And so it caught my attention. At this point, I had forgotten about what it was, really. So I just kind of play it, and I hear my voice singing those words. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, wow, like, isn't this, like, the perfect timing? Like I said earlier, I didn't connect with that lyric then. But at that moment, it was almost like an anchor to me.
Just so many, like, struggles and fears and feeling anxious and, like, unknown, that even though we're struggling, even though we're anxious, even though we're going through this storm, we're gonna praise you and we're gonna trust you.
And these are some scriptures that we kind of drew from as we were writing the song, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." Joshua 1:9, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid." And lastly, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. I love what the bridge says, "Even as the oceans roar, even as the mountains tremble, I will be still and know that you are God alone." And again, it's that idea that no matter what's going on in your life, that we're still going to choose to praise you, because we know that you have the final word, that you are who you say you are. I think it's important that in the middle of that storm for us to be able to lift our hands and just continue to fix our eyes on Jesus, because he will see us through. That's his promise for us.
worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Out. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. For Jesus, he is worthy. Sing this out, yeah. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. He is worthy of every breath, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you, Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. He's the only one that can save you. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, you're worthy. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Yes, Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy of all blessing, all honor, all glory, all power, all praise and dominion forever and ever. You alone, Jesus. Church, would you tell him again? Tell him in your own words, your heart to his heart. Just tell him, Jesus, you're worthy. You are worthy of my love. You're worthy of my life. You're worthy of my song. Jesus, hear your church today. Hear us, your people, saying, it's all about you, Lord. And there is no one like you. You are the one who died for us. You are the one who rose again and defeated death. You are the one we proclaim, Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. You alone are worthy. We praise your name, and it's in your name we pray together. Everyone said, amen. 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 Well, church, hey, before you take your seats, go ahead and find a few people around you and tell them, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. It is Baptism Sunday. Come on now. Baptism Sunday. Man, we are glad that you could join us here this Sunday, wherever you're joining us from. We are excited. Baptism Sunday is just a special Sunday. That's right. Come on, people publicly declaring their love for Jesus, their commitment to him. But before we get there, okay, I need to let you know about a few things. First, shout out to those of you that are brand new today joining us, whether you're here on campus, whether you're online. We want to meet you. Yeah, you can give it up for the new people. We're glad you're here, all right? But we want to meet you. So you can come up and just say hi out in the lobby if you want, or you can just pull out your phone right now and you can text NEW, N-E-W, to the number on the screen, and that's going to get you connected with one of our pastors here, okay? You don't got to be scared, all right? We do just simply want to meet you, get you plugged in to the life of the church. And then the rest of you, you guys know the drill, okay? Connection card. Last night, I was with some friends last night, and one of them proceeded to tell me, Nathan, I hear you talk about the connection card every Sunday, and I never fill it out. I was like, why do I announce this every Sunday? Come on. Look, don't be like my friend, okay? Don't follow their example. Fill out the connection card if you can. It's right there in the Northwoods app. It'll take you 5 seconds, okay? Now, the other thing I got to let you guys know about is support groups here at Northwoods. Now, the support groups we offer here at Northwoods, they are legion. And by that, I mean, they are many. There are many of them, okay? We offer support groups for just about anything and everything here at Northwoods. You can find groups for divorce, if you're going through a time of grief. If you're a single parent, there's groups for that. Addiction and recovery groups, sexual purity groups. There's just all across the board. If you want a group for it, we've probably got a group for it here at Northwoods. And so if any one of those things sticks out to you and go, man, I could really use that. I need that help. I need a group like that. Again, open up the Northwoods app, that connection card I just told you about, okay? They have little check boxes there. And if you want more information about a support group, you can do that right there in the connection card. And then also, I need to talk to you about serving. So there's this pervasive lie going through the church that because we look like a large church, we have all the volunteers we need. It's a myth, okay? I'm here to tell you it is an outright lie, all right? Especially because, with the lingering effects of COVID and a lot of people who they love to go south for the winter, we really do need some extra volunteers here, especially in this season. So I want to challenge you, if you're not plugged in serving anywhere yet, to again open up that app and you can check the box for serving opportunities, and you'll see all the different things available across the life of the church for you to get involved in. And I believe as you do that, you will find that the words of Jesus are so true. He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I believe if you get involved in serving, you begin giving of yourself and your heart and your time into other people, you're going to find, wow, it actually is more blessed to give out than to simply come every Sunday to just take and receive and never give back. So I challenge you with that, to get involved in serving if you can. And then the last thing is giving. If you're giving today, our giving options are also legion. There are also many. You can give online by text. You can give the drop boxes at the back of the auditorium. You can even schedule online giving, whatever works best for you, okay? So get something to take notes on, grab your Bibles, and let's get ready to hear the Word of God.
Through your faith and your baptism into Christ, Jesus is saying, give me your papers, give me your sins and anything you've done, and I will carry it away with me and bury it in death. And then you take my identity, my sinless life, my good name, and you will stand pure and whole before the Father in heaven.
Well, Baptism Sunday, like we said, we're going to celebrate here in a little bit. We're excited about that. And I also want to celebrate with you here this morning, because today is actually the 1 year anniversary of our very first church plant, Pathway Church. So let's give it up for them. Let's make sure they can hear us in the Quad Cities. We're so proud of them. Pastor Craig, who's our missions pastor and helps run our Northwood School of Ministry, he's over there today preaching and celebrating with them. And they're actually having Baptism Sunday as well. And, you know, we always talk about church planting here at Northwoods. I just want to say it again. You know, our long-range vision here at Northwoods is to see every chair in this auditorium represent a church around the world. And that's why you sometimes, you'll see around on the back of chairs, you'll see those gold placards that represent churches that have been planted around the world. But we also have a vision to see 20 churches planted locally by 2030. So that means we got 8 years left, church, and we planted two, so we got 18 left. And I just felt strongly through the fast this year that some of those 18, some of you that are gonna plant those churches are sitting in here and listening right now. I really believe that the church is the hope of the world. And I believe strongly that the church is the last defense against moral breakdown in this country. And yeah, and the Lord, just like he said in Ezekiel, is looking for those who will stand in the gap and repair the wall of righteousness. And so there are some of you who have felt before, I don't know, maybe the Lord's calling me to do that. And if that's you, I want you to continue to pray into that and ask the Lord, Lord, is this what you have called me to do? And if you have questions about how you can get involved here with planting a church, you can talk to me, talk to any of our staff, but there's a missions booth outside in the lobby that you can always stop by and ask questions about that. So I wanted to let you know about that. Also, be sure to let my dad know if you see him next week. He's actually, the reason he was out this Sunday is he is in his hometown of Archbold. And he was just recognized. He got inducted into his high school's athletic hall of fame. So that was a big, award achievement for him. So if you see him, let him know you were. Just let him know. Congrats next week. But today's Baptism Sunday, and I recently heard the story. You know, sometimes when you're going to preach on a topic, you're looking at different. You know, you're looking at different stories and saying, you know, any stories out there on baptism? And I came across a girl from Ypsilanti, Michigan. If you're from Ypsilanti and I'm saying that wrong, forgive me, who was baptized in the Huron River. It's the river which flows through the town. And this girl was so excited about her baptism that she began letting everyone know that she met, that the Lord had saved her soul, and she was baptized in the Huron River. Now listen, church, I want you to know the water up here, it's warm today. It's at 99.3, but it ain't because of urine, okay? There's heaters in there. All right, so it'll be warm. But before we do that this morning, before we get to baptism, we're going to look at a couple of different scriptures. on baptism today, and we're going to focus on one passage in particular in Acts chapter 8. So if you have your Bible, YouVersion on your phone, and you want to follow along, we'll be in Acts chapter 8. You can join me there. And Acts chapter 8, as you're going there, it includes the story of an Ethiopian eunuch who was a high-ranking official. And we find that this man had a genuine hunger and stirring in his heart to worship God, because we see that he is on his way home from worshiping in Jerusalem. And on his way home, he's sitting in his chariot reading the scriptures, specifically the book of Isaiah. Now, at the same time, Philip, there's a man you're gonna read about there named Philip, an angel of the Lord had told him to go be in this area because this Ethiopian eunuch was going to be there. And so Philip is in this area, and it says, he hears the Spirit of God speak to him. It says in verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So the Spirit of God speaks to Philip, says, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, I want to pause here for a moment. Again, we're talking about baptism today, and we're going to focus on this Ethiopian eunuch. But I want you to recognize how God is going to use Philip to change the trajectory of this official's life. And sometimes I found we read stories in the Bible and we read about these Bible characters like Philip, and we kind of have in our mind that these people that are in the Bible were just super spiritual and they're on a complete different level than us. But I want you to recognize that if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, the same Spirit of God living in Philip is the same Spirit of God who is living in you. And just like the Spirit spoke to Philip, he will speak to you. And during the fast this year, I just became so aware again that the Lord is looking for hearers. He is looking for hearers today. And he's going to use those people to advance his kingdom. I want you to understand, he's not looking for the most gifted communicator. He's not looking for the smartest person in the room. He's not looking for the person who has the best and most credentials. He's not looking for the person who has the best singing voice. He's not looking for the person who has the most influence on social media. He is looking for someone who will be a hearer and who will say, I'm going to get in the quiet place with the Lord every morning. I'm going to open up his word and I'm going to say, Lord, I am all ears. I want to hear from you today. And if you will stay in that place, make that your posture, you will learn to hear God's voice. And I'm telling you, he will use your life to make an impact for him right here and right now. Philip was a person just like you. And God can use you just like he used Philip. But it starts with hearing. It starts with hearing. So Philip hears the Spirit, and he approaches the chariot and asks if this man understands what he's reading. This official replies, not really. I need someone to help explain it to me. Again, which is just another encouragement to you to stay in the word. We've talked about the one-year Bible reading plan. If you're going to help other people understand the scriptures, you don't have to be a theologian, but just get in the word and God will use you. It's just Philip had been in the word. He understood. So Philip joins him, and look at what it says in Acts 8:35. It says, then Philip began with that very passage of scripture where the eunuch was reading from and told him the good news about Jesus. And just so there's no confusion today, you've never heard the good news of Jesus. It is that through his life, death, and resurrection, he not only conquered death, but earned salvation for all those who will turn to him in repentance and faith. It was good news for that Ethiopian official, and it's still good news today. All of us have sinned, fallen short of God's perfect standard, and are thus deserving of eternal separation from God. But Jesus not only lived a perfect life, but on the cross, he took my sin, your sin, past, present, future, every sin, and paid the price for it. And 3 days later, he was raised to life. And he lives today. And anyone who will call on him, like I said, repent of their sin. That means turn away, choosing to turn away from your old way of life and trust in him. God will not only forgive you the penalty of your sin, but he can set you free from the power of sin in your life, and he'll give you the gift of eternal life. That's the good news. And that's the good news that Philip shared with this official. And look at this official's response. It says in Acts 8:36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" Now, we're going to focus on that question in a few moments, but we're going to read on right now. And then in some translations in your Bible, you might not even see verse 37, because some of them just include it as a footnote. But it says in verse 37 that Philip said, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And the eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Now, a couple things I want you to see here, because it's here that we see not only the pattern of baptism in the New Testament, but also the mode of baptism. So let's just briefly talk about the pattern of baptism in the New Testament. We see this in the story. The eunuch professes his faith in Jesus. He says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then, following that profession of faith, he is baptized. And this is the pattern we see not only in this story, but all throughout the New Testament narrative. There is a profession of faith followed by baptism. And based upon that pattern, here at Northwoods, we practice what is called believer's baptism. In essence, the person being baptized is baptized as an expression of their faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, we could say that baptism is the believer's first obedience. So this is the pattern you see throughout the New Testament. But then the mode of baptism, okay? Two places in this passage of Scripture, the word baptized is used. And the root word in Greek there really means to immerse. Now, again, I'm just kind of giving you some background of how we do baptism and why we do it this way. And we see that it also says that they went down into the water. They went down into the water. And so this is why when we do baptisms here at Northwoods, we do it by immersion. That's why there are tanks full of water on the stage. And some of you are going to come forward today and get baptized. And when you come up here, we're going to baptize you. And we're going to take you back in the water and bring you back up. It's going to be by immersion. Immersion is significant because of what it symbolizes. Look at Romans 6:3-4. We'll have it on the screen. Paul said, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So understand, when you go down under that water, when you see someone else being baptized, it's a picture of being buried with Christ in his death. It's a declaration that not only has Christ died for your sin, but that you are burying and making a complete break with your past before Jesus Christ. You are dying to sin. Going under the water is a picture of being buried with Christ. And then when you come up out of the water, it's a picture of being raised with Christ to walk in newness of life. Look at what Galatians says in Galatians 3:26-27. It says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." When you come up out of that water, it's a picture of walking in newness of life, and it's putting on Jesus. It's clothing yourself with him. Now, there are other things symbolized by immersion. You know, the Bible talks about elsewhere being about being washed and purified. That's true. There are other passages that speak of baptism as passing through the waters of judgment safely. And all these incredible truths are symbolized by immersion. Now, some streams of faith, they'll sprinkle people with water for baptism. But sprinkling someone with water, I don't believe, can symbolize all that baptism by immersion can. Now, if you're here and say you're disabled or not able to get into the water, we'll sprinkle you if that's the only way we can do it. But for the most part, we do baptism by immersion because that is the New Testament mode of baptism. And that's what we're going to do in just a little bit. So now that we have a grasp of the pattern and kind of the mode of baptism, you understand why we do it the way we do, I want you to look back at Acts 8:36, because again, it says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" Now, obviously for him, there was nothing standing in the way. He professed his faith in Jesus and says, Philip says, let's go get baptized. But that's not always the case for everyone today. In fact, there might be some today who you would say, there is something standing in the way of my being baptized. And I want to talk to you about some of these hindrances that keep people, that stand in the way of people being baptized. So here's hindrance number one. Baptism isn't necessary for salvation, and therefore it is optional. Baptism isn't necessary for salvation, and therefore it is optional. Now let's be clear, baptism does not save you. There are scriptures that are clear about that. There's a clear example of a man being saved without being baptized in the New Testament. If you remember the thief on the cross next to Jesus, that man said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now that man was saved, but he was also nailed to a cross. So it's not like he could say, "Hold up, take me down and baptize me and then put me back up here." No, he died on that cross and he was not baptized from what we can infer there. So it is true that baptism isn't necessary to be saved. But I want you to understand that doesn't mean that baptism is just optional for a believer. In the Bible, baptism was expected to accompany belief. Jesus, before leaving this earth, gave his disciples this command, what we call the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19. He said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Jesus commanded baptism for all who will call upon his name. And his followers took him seriously. If you look through the book of Acts, Simon the magician believed and was baptized. That's Acts 8:13. Saul's faith in Christ was followed by baptism. Acts 9:18. Cornelius, the Roman centurion, was baptized after he believed. Acts 10:47-48. Those are just a few examples. But baptism in the New Testament was commanded by Jesus and practiced by his followers. In fact, you would be pretty hard-pressed to find an unbaptized believer in the New Testament. That's just a foreign concept in the New Testament. So baptism, I want you to understand, no, you're not saved by baptism. But baptism is not just some optional step if you feel like it. It's commanded by Jesus and practiced by his followers. So that's one hindrance that keep people. Here's hindrance number two. I was baptized as an infant, so I don't need to be baptized again. Now, I want to be careful here because there are Bible-believing Christians who believe that infants can and should be baptized. Okay, I have friends in this church who would be proponents of infant baptism. And there are some places in Scripture where one could build a case for that. But if you look at the New Testament narrative, you're not going to find an example of an infant being baptized. The closest you could maybe get would be household baptisms. There are places in the Bible where one person was baptized and then you find the rest of the household was baptized as well. For example, look at the story. One story is the story of the Philippian jailer. Paul and Silas preached the good news to him, and it says in Acts 16:32-33, they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, then immediately he and all his household were baptized. So some might say that even though it doesn't tell us outright that there were infants in the house, there could have been. The whole house got baptized. Maybe But again, we don't know for sure, so it's not really decisive one way or another. But it does say, they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. So I might be making an assumption here, but it would make sense to me that if they spoke the word of the Lord to the household, that all in the household were old enough to not only understand the word, but believe it and profess their faith in God. So if you're here today and you were baptized as an infant, let me just say, that wasn't wrong. We would look at that as your parents dedicating you to the Lord. That's a good thing. But recognize that was your parents' decision. Believer's baptism is an expression of your decision to follow Jesus. It's you driving a stake in the ground and saying, it's my confession that Jesus is my Lord, and I'm going to publicly declare that through baptism. Again, it was your parents' decision. And I've just found it in almost every area of life. There comes a point where at some point, maybe our parents have certain things that they wish for us, and you can live off of that for a while, but at some point you have to make a decision to say, is this who I'm gonna be? Remember, like for example, my dad, he didn't force me to run track, but I always knew growing up that he loved track. He had a passion for running. And so I would run with him. You know, we did the steamboat races in Peoria. I did track through 7th and 8th grade. We trained together. But my freshman year of high school, I got to a place where I was just like, man, I hate track. Who? Running is for the birds. Who wants to just go out here and run all day long? Now, if you're a runner, more power to you, okay? But I got to a point where I was just like, you know what? My dad loves track, but I got to make a decision. Is this something I love as well? See, there came that point where it was like, yeah, my dad, he's excited about it, but is this something I'm going to grasp as well? Same way for me in ministry. You know, for a long time, I was just like, yeah, I know I love doing ministry. And there came a time, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, where I got really unsettled and just said, Lord, I need to know, am I just doing this because, my dad was called and he's a great preacher and so I've learned some things from him, or have you actually called me to do this? Because I can't do this long term if I'm just going off of, well, you know, my dad did it and so I guess I'll do it. There came a moment and the Lord confirmed for me in no unmistakable way that yes, I have called your dad, but I want you to know that I have called you and Michaela as well. And that was the moment. I still have the page in my journal where I drove a stake in the ground. I said, I know that I'm called. This is my decision. And I'm moving forward to follow Jesus and minister to him for the rest of my life. There comes a moment where you have to make a decision for you. So you driving the stake in the ground in baptism saying, it's my confession that Jesus is my Lord. So through your baptism, you're saying, I'm thankful for my parents' desire to dedicate me to God as a child. I believe that God has honored that. But now that I have chosen to place my faith in Jesus, I want to express my faith and personal obedience to the Lord's command to be baptized. So that's hindrance number two. Sometimes we get caught up in that. I was baptized as an infant and I don't need to do it again. But the New Testament narrative speaks of people making a personal confession and declaring and publicly declaring that decision through baptism. So if you've made it's your personal confession that Jesus is your Lord and you've never publicly declared that of your own accord, you might consider getting baptized today. Hindrance number three, baptism might offend my family or friends. For some of you, maybe because of your parents' faith, it might be offensive to them or your family's faith if you were to get baptized. And it pains me that some have to make a choice between pleasing their parents and pleasing God. But sometimes that is the reality. There are people in this church whose parents are of a different faith background, and they came to a place of recognizing that if I choose to follow Jesus, this could mean that my parents cut me off. What am I going to do? I hate that that happens. But I want you to look at what Jesus said in Luke 14:26. He said, if anyone comes to me, and I'll explain this because this is a strong statement. and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Now, when we read that, it doesn't always compute. It's like, whoa, Jesus. Hate my family? Like, did that get something get lost in translation there? Did someone copy that down wrong? Or because the Bible elsewhere says to honor your parents. Doesn't it also say to love your enemies? Yes, it does. The problem is that sometimes we read our modern understanding of hate into Jesus' words. And when Jesus said to hate, he was speaking of choosing one thing over another. You know, several years ago on Baptism Sunday, I was at the back of the auditorium, right back by those doors, and I was helping direct people that were getting baptized up to the stage. And so as they're coming by, I'm just like, man, I'm clapping for them. I'm so proud of you. And I remember there was a girl that came by, and I just said, man, I'm super proud of you. This is an awesome decision you're making. And she said, never forget, she said, my mom's going to kill me. I said, well, man, why is your mom going to kill you? Is it because, like, you know, she wanted to be here with you and you didn't wait for her? Or, you know, why would she kill you? And she went on to explain that after talking with her for a few minutes, that her mom just did not believe in her faith and in what her daughter had decided to do. But regardless, that's a decision where this daughter's making a tough decision. But regardless, she turned and she headed straight down the aisle up the stairs, and I watched her as she stepped into the waters and proclaimed her faith in Jesus Christ through baptism. Even though it meant disappointing her mom. That's choosing one thing over another. It's not saying I'm just turning my back on my parents and forget about them. No, we're still called to honor our parents. But if there ever comes a place where you have to choose between pleasing God, following God, and following your parents, Jesus is saying that my disciples put me first. So again, when he's saying, it doesn't mean you start passionately disliking your parents. He's saying following me may mean disappointing your family. It may mean that your friends look at you and grumble and roll their eyes and say, you're getting a little carried away with all this stuff. And Jesus is saying, yep, all those things might be a part of it. But if you're unwilling to choose me over what others will think about you, you're not ready to follow. So the question becomes, who is my ultimate allegiance going to be to? God or everyone else or others? So that's another hindrance. Let me give you the last hindrance. Hindrance number four, baptism is purely symbolic and therefore has no bearing on my life. In other words, some see baptism as kind of this stale religious tradition. People do it, and while it might be symbolic, you know, it doesn't really change anything. So someone say, I don't need to be baptized, I'm just going to go up there and get in the water, and yeah, you know, people will cheer, but nothing's really going to change. But I want you to understand, like we said, baptism is symbolic, yes. But just because we say it's symbolic does not mean it is devoid of power. Now again, in some streams of faith, there are some who would say baptism imparts salvation. I'm not saying that. Baptism doesn't save you. But just because it's symbolic, like I said, does not mean it's devoid of power. You know, I believe there's a sense in which the Holy Spirit works through baptism to increase our faith. I think he works through baptism to increase our experiential realization of death to sin. I mean, wouldn't it be fitting that if this is symbolizing the breaking off of your past life and putting to death your past life before Christ, do you think the Holy Spirit might work through that moment to also break off the grip of sin on your life? I think absolutely. We baptize people, and we've heard the stories, people coming up and say, it just feels like something in that moment was broken off of my life. Yes, that's the Holy Spirit. It's not only symbolizing you bearing your old past life, but the Holy Spirit is working in that moment and breaking off the grip of sin on your life. You know, for some of us, the thought of going out and changing clothes, coming up here and having someone dunk you underwater and get up and being all wet and doing it in front of people, you're like, nah, I don't really want to do that. I just, you know, that's really not for me. And you want to know why? And I've been here before. Because I think there is a part of you that is concerned about what everyone else will think about you. So let me just say, first off, this is a family. Okay? No one in here is thinking, wow, that person's absolutely crazy. Everyone here is celebrating with you. People are excited for you. But beyond that, you are letting the fear of what others think about you keep you from being obedient to Christ. And if you can't stand up for him in here, do you think you're going to be able to stand up for him outside of here? I mean, this is family. If you can't stand up in front of your family, what makes you think you're going to be able to stand up and be obedient to Christ outside these walls? If you will stand up and be obedient today, I'm telling you today, because I know from experience, when you step out of your seat and go public with what God has told you to do, God can and will break off the fear of man that has you in its grip, and you will find on the backside of your obedience that there is a newfound freedom to live for God and be bold for him, because you no longer are held captive to what everyone else thinks about you. That happens through baptism. It's symbolic, but that does not mean is devoid of power. You know, I was baptized around the time I was 9. My parents, I have the VHS video of it. And I can tell you, you know, I don't necessarily remember the moment where I went down in the water and came up. I can't say like, oh man, it was just like this, you know, heavenly moment and I'll never forget it. I mean, I remember being baptized. I've seen the video. But I do know that even though I didn't necessarily like feel something in the moment, that decision back when I was 9 years old, set the course and the trajectory of my life, because I knew as a nine-year-old, that I had declared publicly that I am going to choose to follow Jesus with my life. And I can look back to my baptism and know that was a moment where the Lord set the course for me. And I have not wavered, I have not left that course, because that course was set when I was 9. Baptism is symbolic, but that does not mean it's devoid of power. So in closing, I want to ask you, what is standing in the way of you being baptized today? What is standing in the way of you being baptized today? In a minute, I'm going to ask you to take that step of obedience today and be baptized. But before I do, I want to take a moment to speak to those of you who are listening today who have never placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe before today, you know, you'd heard about Jesus, but you've never taken that step. Maybe today you're hearing about the good news of Jesus for the very first time. And like I said earlier, the good news of Jesus is that on the cross, he took my sin, your sin, the sin that separates us from God, and paid the price. And 3 days later, he was raised to life and he lives today. And if you will call on him and repent of your sin, like I said, he will forgive you the penalty of your sin. He will set you free from the power of sin over your life. He will give you a new beginning and give you the gift of eternal life. That's good news. And if you're hearing that today and you're ready to make that commitment, you're saying, I'm ready to repent of my sin and place my faith in Jesus Christ, with every head bowed, I just want you to pray this with me this morning. You just say, Jesus Christ, I surrender. I admit that I'm a sinner in need of the forgiveness only you can offer. And so today, January 30th, 2022, I repent of my sin and I place my trust in you and I choose to follow you from this day forward. I thank you that through your death and resurrection, I am a new creation and I now possess the gift of eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer today, the Bible says all of heaven is rejoicing with you. And so are we, church. Let's give it up for all those who have prayed that prayer today, whether you prayed that online or they're here at one of our campuses. We're so excited for you. Now, at this moment, I'm going to hand off to our other campuses, and they're going to go into their time of baptism. But here on this campus, we're going to start baptizing in just a few moments. And I want to remind you again, you might be saying, well, what do? I'm getting baptized in my clothes. Like, I didn't bring anything. I want you to understand, we've taken care of everything. We have the towels. We have a Northwood shirt for you, shorts. We've taken care of everything. And so at this time, I want to invite everyone. You're not dismissed, yes, but I want to invite everyone in the room to stand. So if you would, everybody, stand, please. So now, if you have pre-registered to be baptized, if you have just surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and you want to be baptized, or a hindrance was removed for you today and you are ready to be baptized, I want you to step out of your row and I want you to come down front. So as they're coming, church, let's give it up for all those who will be baptized. If you're going to be baptized, I want you to come down front. We're going to pray with you. Praise the Lord. This is your moment. Don't let your moment pass by. The Lord's speaking to you to be baptized. This is the day. You come be baptized. So proud of you. Now, before I release you to get changed, I want to talk with you for just a moment. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so I want to ask you, if that's your confession this morning, that Jesus is your Lord, I want you to say that with me. Let's say it. Jesus is my Lord. And if you believe, the Bible says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, I want you to say, I believe. Let's say that together. I believe. Amen. And now, I want to walk you through a prayer of renunciation. The Bible says that the moment we are saved, we are transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. So I want those down in front. In church, all of us can pray this together, but let's just pray this. You just repeat after me. You say, in Jesus' name, I now renounce Satan, all of his works, all of his ways. I renounce every lie that I have ever believed. I renounce every evil act that I have ever entered into. I renounce his work in my life, and I surrender myself to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Guys, I'm so proud of you. I'm going to release you now. Okay, right over here with the blinking wand. I want you guys to walk right out and follow Chris. She'll take you right out to find your clothes. Guys, let's give it up for them. as they're heading out. We'll see you back in here in a few moments. I'm so excited for you. Listen, if there's anyone else, this is your moment and you missed it. I want to encourage you. There's still time to go. Now, listen, for the rest of you, again, we're going to stay in worship and we're going to celebrate. You are dismissed. If you have kids, you can go get your kids down to Discoveryland and bring them back. Again, you're dismissed, but we would love for you to stay around if you could. And we're going to celebrate all those who get baptized. So we're going to worship together and we're going to do some baptizing. You guys have a great day. Hope you can stay with us.
What an awesome service.
Absolutely.
It's like your favorite, right?
It is one of my favorite weekends of the year.
Yeah, it's so fun, and we are so glad that you're here celebrating with us today. And you know, every person who came down front, they have decided not only to follow Jesus, but they want to publicly declare that decision. And if they're going to do that publicly, then we need your help. We need you to stick around and celebrate with us this morning.
Yeah, you know, it is just, it is one of my favorite weekends. We do it several weekends a year, but baptism weekend is one of my favorite weekends.
Yeah.
And I love just seeing people be excited about their faith journey and the next steps they're taking. And maybe you're at home and you're thinking, I made that decision. What do I do? Well, you still have time today to join us here in Peoria.
Absolutely.
For the 11 o'clock service. And you can get baptized. If you said yes to Jesus today and you're ready to take that next step in your faith journey, then we want you to do that. And we want to help you make that happen. And maybe you live too far away, or maybe you can't get here, or whatever the reason is, we still want you to be able to make that public declaration of your faith. And so that could be, you know, we've had people come from Germany and Minnesota and Florida to be baptized. Maybe we need to fill up your bathtub there in your house and get your family around you and celebrate your decision. Maybe Hope needs to make a house call. I don't know. But email Hope and she will help you figure out how to take that next step in your faith journey.
Absolutely. My email is just hope.graves@northwoods.church. I'd love to connect with you. And you know, we say these things and they may sound a little crazy, a little out there, but they're not. We have had things like this happen before. Even at this past August when we had our lake baptisms, there was a family who was watching and their son decided that he wanted to get baptized, and they lived about 10 minutes away. They loaded up into their truck and they got here in time for baptism. So if you're within driving distance, make it here for 11 o'clock, you know, and if not, there are all of these other ways that we would love to help you and walk alongside your faith journey with you. So it's a good time.
Northwoods Online, it's like we do crazy things, so nothing's too crazy.
Yeah, nothing's too crazy for Jesus, right? Yeah. So, also, we have someone watching online. I know for sure, Shelly in Georgia. I want to say good morning to you. She's tuning in because her granddaughter is getting baptized this morning at this service. So, Shelly, we are celebrating with you this morning. And if there's anyone else who's watching and you have a family member or a loved one getting baptized today, be sure to let us know in the chat. We would love to, again, just celebrate with you. It's a party,
yes,
right?
It's a party. We want to know who you're celebrating with, and we want to celebrate
Absolutely.
With you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so as we get ready, we're going to drop you back into worship here in just a little bit. But one other thing that I want to make sure you know about, and if you get my Friday emails, if you watch the intro to this service, I'm going to start sounding like a broken record. But that's because I am just so excited for our new series that starts next weekend.
Yep. Yeah, Pastor Cal is going to be talking about worry, and then we're going to have a weekend that we're talking about family, and it's just a great opportunity to really think about what Jesus wants in our homes and in our families, and you know, Hope for the Home is the name of the series.
Yep.
And I'm super excited about some of the things that are coming along with that.
I think when we take the time to talk about things like worry and anger and parenting, those are easy invitations for you to be inviting someone into your home to watch with you, or inviting people to come join you on campus, but really be thinking and praying about who you're going to bring to this next series. Well, I think that's our cue. Baptisms are about ready to get started. So again, we're so glad that you're here. Be sure to stick around and let's celebrate together.
Yep, use those clap emojis there in the chat. We want to celebrate this party.
Absolutely.
you shed your blood. So I'm gonna live like my shame is gone. I won't be shackled to the way I was. Oh, I'm gonna live like my chains are gone, gone. The stone is gone.
Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. You'll make a way.
Thing on. Can you hear me? There we go. Isn't it amazing seeing God do that in people's lives? So great that we get to be a part of that. Thanks so much for being here. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the work you've done in people's hearts today. Lord, we pray that you would seal that work in, and we thank you for everything you are doing in this church. We give you all the praise today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, have a great day. Thanks so much for celebrating with us. We'll see you back next week.
Wow, that was so awesome. I just love baptism, seeing people make that decision to publicly declare that they are following Jesus. I mean, it's one of the coolest things.
It is. It's so exciting to watch.
Yeah, I love the energy, and yeah, it's just so much fun. What more is there to say, right?
Yep.
So we are so excited that we got to celebrate that with you today and that you came and joined us for Baptism Sunday.
And you know what? Remember that we have Hope for Your Home, the new series starting next week. So be sure you invite friends, family, neighbors, invite them into your home to watch it with you, or you know what, bring them to the campus with you, any of our campuses, and take in this incredible series. Well, you know what? Again, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next Sunday.